Hey, welcome to Intentional Living Center today. I got the doors open. I want you to come on in if you're married or if you want to make your marriage better. We're going to talk today about one of the most powerful destructive forces in a marriage, and that is an emotional attachment to another person, an emotional adultery, if you please. Pretty strong way of putting it. When you find yourself or someone that you love, maybe your spouse has been drawn away or yourself drawn away emotionally, connecting with another person outside of marriage. What do you do? How do you be intentional with that? That's what we're talking about. This is Intentional Living.
Welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson, a best-selling author and your advocate for the family. Our lines are open at 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now, from the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your marriage, here's Randy.
All right, Mr. Kurt, thank you. And you know what I would like to have today? We're going to do this very quickly because we only have a short time. Maybe you've been down this path. You learned a lesson. God taught you some things. There's been some help. There's been some restoration. You got intentional, and you want to help somebody else who's finding themselves being drawn away with their emotions into a relationship separate from their spouse. I'd like to hear from you. You speak the truth to someone today. What have you learned? 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. Here's what I believe. Here's what I've seen as a counselor over the years. Most of these start unintentionally. You know, I don't think we go out intentionally trying to get emotionally attached to someone other than our spouse. And it could be as a result, you think, you know, you're blaming your spouse. You know, maybe they seem unplugged from the marriage or distant in the marriage and the needs aren't being met and you feel justified and at the beginning, at least, to develop some friendship outside of your marriage. Or a connection with someone who cares and seems to meet some of the needs your spouse isn't meeting. You don't have any ambition or desire or movement in the direction of having an affair, but just that sensing of connecting with another person. And I'll tell you where it happens many times, and happens in church choirs. You know, many, many people could call and say it was in a church choir. Here we are at the intimacy of our spiritual expression and worship with another person, and you wish your spouse were doing that. Maybe it's in the workplace. Areas of shared interest. Many times it's just you have an interest with another person and they seem to care about things that you care about. And of course, friendships. We do a whole thing on the power and danger of opposite sex friendships, being careful outside of your marriage. So I think it starts unintentionally, but it's got to stop intentionally. You know, I don't think we get up in the morning with that attitude of, you know, I'm going to start having an emotional affair with another person or I'm going to get into an affair with a person, doesn't start that way. But I'll tell you what, it will stop only if you're intentional. And I'm going to talk about some of the steps, specific steps you need to do, you can do to take control of your life in this area. There's someone needing to hear what you did that changed the course of your life in a healthy direction as a result of an emotional affair. 888-888-1717. All right? Emotional adultery. We'll get to the calls here in just a moment.
While I was being the wife of 34 years, I found out that my husband had been searching the internet for at least 10 years and checking out porn for over 30 years of our marriage. And I also found out that he was pursuing sex on the outside through the internet. He had his alias name, receiving mail. He was downloading pictures, videos, chat lines, amateur videos. And all the while, I was oblivious to this. I'm a chaplain, and sadly, our marriage is now over with because he didn't believe he had an issue or a problem and wouldn't go for help, and I wouldn't allow it in my home.
Boy, there's an extreme. You know, when it gets into pornography, which we know is a pervasive problem, especially in the 21st century technology availability that people have today, and being anonymous in terms of just getting on there and seeing these things, you know, that's a problem. But I think so much of what we talk about so often when we focus on this thing of emotional adultery, I really do think many of it, many times, it's just a weakness, a moment in time when we look at maybe what's going on and we say some needs not being met in the marriage. Maybe the husband, you feel your husband's been unplugged, or your wife seems distant, and like I said, there's a person in the church or in the workplace or some shared interest or a friendship that you developed, and all of a sudden there's a connection that begins, and you know it. All of a sudden you find yourself thinking about them, wondering what they're doing, comparing them to your spouse, wondering what would have been like if you had married them, how your life would have been different, wanting to get a chance to talk to them about how you're feeling. All of a sudden conversations move from, you know, high-level kinds of discussions into more intimacy and starting to talk about what's going on in each of your marriages. And all of a sudden there's connection that begins. And it's a normal process. Human beings have been created to connect with other human beings. It's part of the wiring that God put into place. We need each other. You know, it's said in the scripture, it's not good for man to be alone. He created woman. There's this connection that God intended to occur. But when the wires get crossed and the needs aren't being met and people aren't thinking straight or behaving in the way that honors Christ, it's very easy to slip into this kind of thing when we find ourselves being connected emotionally with another person. It creates a problem. All right, let's get to James on the line. James, welcome to the program.
How you doing there, Dr. Andy?
Doing well, my friend. How do you relate to this topic?
Well, I've got some unique experience among my friends. You know, I have probably about three or four really good female friends. We've always just been buds. Hell, a couple of them are 20 years, another one's about 10 years. And I'm single right now. I went through a divorce about 5 years ago. But the thing I've learned through this is that, you know, what it is about these female friends in my life is how much I admire who they are and what I know about them on a really much deeper level. You know, they're really not Christ followers like I am, but I don't hold that against them, and I don't let that get in the way of our friendship. But what I tell myself is that when I meet the next person that I want to pursue, that I need to take that admiration and, you know, and when I see qualities in them, to, you know, bubble that up to the forefront and say that, you know what, and then when I start spending more time with them, it says, okay, the lion's share of my admiration, while I'll still have friends and I'll always be there for them for whatever they need to a certain degree, that when you start seeing somebody else, you need to take all that energy you're putting into admiring and get to know the person, get to know them deeper. You know, it would definitely have to be someone who's a Christ follower like I have been, I'd say, well, recently over the last 4 or 5 years.
Let me jump in, James. Let me ask a question. Are these women that you're friends with, are they married?
Couple of them aren't. One of them is, and the other one is. I'm friends with the whole family.
Uh-huh.
It's just that whenever somebody, if I need a woman's point of view, or somebody, you know, some of the activities I'm involved with church, I'm a musician aside from my day job. So I kind of dance in a whole different bunch of arenas where I meet these people, so they get to know me on a few levels.
So how do you keep a boundary in place with these women? You have shared interest, it sounds like, with music and different things like that. How do you keep a boundary in place that's appropriate so they don't get the wrong message, even though it may not be intended?
Well, I mean, you need to have, if there has to be a discussion, you need to do that. You know, you need to, and if it's something where there's an activity that we share, the purpose of us coming together for, you know, an afternoon or an event or something like that is to share that activity, you know. Then there's the whole thing about, you know, pushing back your lust or whatever. I mean, you just need to be on top of that at all times anyway. And, you know, it's just that there's so much about them I admire, and we've been friends, and we realize that maybe there's some of the bigger core things that aren't there for us to pursue something that's really a one kind of thing. You know, it's just we're just good buds, but, you know, the decision not to pursue it further is kind of a mutual thing, you know. And there's never really been any strife with that. You know, it's just when you meet people that, you know, or don't have anything in common with you, that are just coming at you with attraction, you know, it's real easy, yeah, to realize that, hey, I'm going deeper first. You know, I want a Christ-based relationship.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole number of things, yeah, that aren't on the table until we get married, and, you know, and that really separates, that, you know, that narrows down the number of people that, you know, you can spend time with.
All right. Let me jump in there, James. All right. Thank you, my friend. Let me just say, though, well, when we have a relationship, if you have a friendship with a person of the opposite sex, it may be a healthy relationship. You know, outside of being couples, there's this friendship that you have at work or whatever. Be very clear, be very, very careful to understand the dynamic that can occur, maybe not in your heart, but in their heart. They may misread certain things. I think many times a person wakes up one day and says, oh, I didn't know they had those. In other words, am I supporting them in their marriage? Am I supporting their relationship with their primary relationship with their spouse? To be very careful. We have a helpful resource available, talks about opposite sex friendships on our website that you might want to check it out. Okay, we're going to get to Mark here in just a moment.
We determined before we were married that we would never speak disrespectfully of each other to other people, and not just in not making fun of each other, but that we would never say anything to someone outside the marriage that would make our partner uncomfortable. And there's such a feeling of trust between us and confidence, and we can be open and we can be vulnerable. And it makes for a very safe feeling in a marriage, I think.
Just tell each other they love each other without having to say words, you know, just a pat on the back saying I love you, and just being with each other when you could be together, and when you're apart, you know that common ground of love for each other is there.
Very good. Thank you for sharing your stories with us. Mark drives a truck picking up people who are broken down. Hi, Mark. Right. Welcome to the program, my friend.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Interesting. So you're out during the day and you're meeting with a lot of different people. How do you handle that in this emotional life?
Well, I just serviced a rather attractive lady early this morning here in the Detroit area, and she was really nice and all that, but I just picked up her car and left and picked up a dealership I was supposed to, and I'm purposely forgetting about her. It's all I had to do with her.
Well, that's an intentional thinking, isn't it? You know, the Bible says to take captive every thought out of obedience to Christ, because our minds can linger on things, can't they?
Yeah. And another thing is this lady friend of ours, I say she's a friend of ours, not mine, because she's like in her 60s and sure don't look it. She's extremely nice. I would never go to her house without my wife with me. Never.
Hmm. Which is a good thing. I think when we keep the focus on our marriage and our priority of our relationship and do things as a couple, it's a much healthier thing to do. Has this been a pattern in your life? Have you wrestled with this in the past, Mark, or has this been a pattern throughout your life, how you handle this?
Well, I come across a lot of people who are doing bad mouth at church and all that, and they tell them, well, these ministers that get caught up in affairs and all that, and I tell them, well, quite frankly, the only big preacher I'm going to respect for is Billy Graham. He wouldn't even ride back to the crusade, to his hotel in the same cab with a lady.
Mm-hmm. But,
and then he wouldn't even get in the elevator with her by mm-hmm. himself.
That's true. And he would have done that, Mark, and I know that, not because he was had a problem in that area, but he didn't want to have a problem in that area, and he didn't want to even have the appearance of evil. And I know that about Billy Graham, and I think for all of us as men and women, to think not only about the vulnerability that we could have in certain situations, but how things can appear. I think that's a powerful reminder for people. I know there are people listening, though, saying, boy, that is narrow-minded in this 21st century. You know, get a life. But I'll tell you, most affairs that occur develop with friendship first, and then it leads to the problem that ultimately can become the downfall of a marriage relationship. But you're absolutely right, Mark. So
I don't even go to a lady's house, inside a house, if her husband's not around.
Smart. You're smart. Absolutely. Well, yep. Good for you. Good for you, Mark. Are you out picking up broken-down cars today, then?
Used to be crazy, couldn't keep up, but now they're making better cars and they don't break down like they used to.
Boy, we got to get back to the old days, right?
Oh, for my pocketbook, yeah. But
are you in the Detroit area? Is that where you're driving?
Yes, today? I'm right now. I'm about half hour out of Detroit. I'm in Oakland County, but there's another incident that happened where a pastor did get caught having an affair in Coldwater, which is about 2 hours from here.
Mm-hmm.
It's south of Jackson. And I learned some of the stuff I said from a pastor in a nearby town. He says he never went to a woman's house alone. If he could, he'd take his wife with him. But at this time of the year, he'd go, but he'd stay out in the front porch, go out in the backyard and talk. He wouldn't go inside the house.
Well, I think that's wise. I know that sounds very old-fashioned to some people, but it's very wise. You know, when you're alone, there's a vulnerability. And I always say, it may not be your weakness, it may be theirs. It may not be a problem that you have, but it may be an issue that they struggle with. And, of course, we are responsible for each other and living a life that is above reproach, as the scripture says. Okay, Mark, be safe out there in Oakland County today, driving and doing your job in Michigan. This is the verse. To me, this is the key verse of the whole thing. And God opened her eyes. Listen now, she's watching her son die, right? And God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. Now, it doesn't say God created the well of water. It doesn't say that God just brought up a well of water. It says he opened her eyes so she could see what was right in front of her. To me, this is the whole lesson for single parents today. Ask God to open your eyes. Boy, that's a great reminder. And that is an excerpt from the teaching series that we just wrapped up on the topic of single parenting. And I have, over all of the years of my ministry here through Family Life Radio and Intentional Living, have had a tender spot in my heart for you single moms and dads, because we love you, we respect you, and we stand with you. And that entire teaching, 5-part series, all on one CD, is packaged and being made available today for your gift to the ministry of any amount. So if you know someone who's a single mom or dad that could really benefit from hearing encouragement on how to be intentional, we'll say thanks by sending you the CD with all 5 parts on intentional living for single parents. And if you become a monthly member of Intentional Living, you'll receive this teaching plus some other high-stake relationship teaching for blended families on faith and on marriage, as well as becoming a member. You'll receive my ongoing teaching every month on CD. So find out more. Share your gift today. I appreciate it. Go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, or call 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours and press option 4. Again, reminder of the Thrive Conference for families and business, a life-transforming, exciting, positive day that will change your life, October 26th in Phoenix at Grand Canyon University. I'm teaching Jerry Colangelo, Dr. Kevin Lehman, Rick and Holly Beatenbow, Brian Mueller, and many others are participating in a full day for families and business. Get registered. All the information is right at the website, theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. And again, welcome, Family Life Radio, brand new station in San Luis Obispo, California. Welcome to the family. We're glad to have you part of the family of listeners and a part of Family Life Radio and Intentional Living.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Andy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
High-stake relationships, you got them. Now what do? Dr. Randy's here to help you be intentional with those relationships that matter the most. Our featured teaching is both biblical and practical and will help you to be intentional in your high-stake relationships. The complete teaching is on CD and is yours with our thanks for your gift of any amount to the ministry. And if you become a monthly member of Intentional Living, you'll receive this teaching plus 3 others from Dr. Randy, all to help you with your high-stake relationships. That's 4 practical full-length teachings on 4 CDs when you become a member. And being a member, you'll be receiving coaching CDs from Dr. Randy every month. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or call 1-888-1717 during West Coast business hours and press option number 4.
Your family, your faith, your future, your finances. You know, those are 4 pillars of a successful family business, and you can't afford to lose even one of those critical supports. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Family Life Radio invites you to the National Thrive Conference for Families and Business in Phoenix at Grand Canyon University on October 26th, and I encourage you to register early to assure seating for you and your family. We have Jerry Colangelo. You're going to learn from a legend. Christian businessman, sports executive, and former owner of the Phoenix Suns. Dr. Kevin Lehman will share how to make family business relationships work for success. And I get a chance to share about intentional living along with many others. For couples in business, siblings in business, cousins in business, for anyone interested in family business. One full day, October 26th. Early bird registration discounts available at familybusinessconference.com. That's familybusinessconference.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. We had a Facebook post with a D.L. Moody quote the other day that said this: "The impression that a praying mother leaves upon her children is lifelong." Then this great comment from Lisa followed: "Truly believe this. My great-grandmother prayed over her family daily. Now it's our turn to carry on her legacy." Now that's being intentional. Join our Facebook family today. It's a great place to be encouraged. Go to theintentionallife.com/Facebook. Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. You know, intentional living, we're committed to helping couples make their marriages work intentionally in Christ. When we see the statistics of about 40% of first marriages ending in divorce, and I know that it's much lower for those that are active in church and praying together and are really living their Christian life, which is an encouraging thing. So that kind of answers the direction we need to take, getting rooted clearly in the Word of God, going to church, getting on the same page, have interest together, making sure our minds are straight in what we think, taking charge of our thinking, take captive every thought out of obedience to Christ, be renewed in the spirit of our minds. But then we have to change our behavior. If you find yourself being emotionally attracted to a person, are you finding yourself also behaving in a way that directs you toward them, either telephone or email or in the workplace or sitting next to them in the choir or sharing interests and making sure that you have an opportunity to be connected with them, excluding your spouse? Let me ask you, would you share with your spouse the level and quality of that friendship? Does your spouse know about that friendship? Are they involved in that friendship? I've seen over the years that it's pretty unintentional. Most of these emotional adultery relationships that begin, they begin unintentionally, but they only stop intentionally when we make a decision, when we say enough's enough. And when you stop and say, listen, I choose to be intentional in my marriage, choose to be intentional in my relationship with Christ, choose to be intentional in how I think, where I go, and not be driven by my needs or my emotions, but being driven by the truth, you're going to be heading in the right direction. Today, focusing on breaking that cycle, if it's a problem for you. Okay, Rocky's in Colorado. Welcome to the program, Rocky.
Oh, well, thank you, Dr. Randy. Well, you know, first of all, what a powerful subject, and I'm pleased and encouraged. I'm and surprised that there's been several men that call in.
All men so far. All men. All men, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much. You know, one of the things that I'd love some discernment on and maybe some direction is my wife and I have, we've been married about 6 or 7 years now, and my wife is a very beautiful woman, very vivacious, very friendly, very outgoing, and that's one of the things that attracted me to her. One of the things that has kind of cropped up over the years has been friendliness towards other men, whether I'm there or not, and we've had some discussions which sometimes have not turned out real well, to try to, without being non-supportive or trying to come across as I'm trying to change her, is to try to say, hey, you know, just be a little careful, you know, when you're out there. You know, I don't want to come across as being controlling, and that's not the way it's intended. You know, even if it's just a touch on the shoulder or a laugh, you know, I don't want to take any of that away from her, but it has been an object of concern for us in years.
Will you say us or for you?
Yeah, probably just for me.
Okay, well, let me ask a question, Rocky. I know it's a hard one, but do you have confidence in your wife, or are you concerned?
No, I do. I feel very, I know she has no ill intentions, and it's not her. It's the way it would come across to some other men with other agendas, if you know what I mean.
Absolutely, and I think she needs to know that. I think it would be important for you, Rocky, to do a couple things. One is to express your confidence and trust in her, but as a man to say, honey, I need to tell you why I was attracted to you. In other words, what happened when you were friendly with me? What happened in my heart and mind? This was what attracted me to you. And just because you have a wedding ring on and you're married is not going to change how many men are going to respond to that same kind of friendliness or physical touch or whatever. And I'm concerned about that. I'm concerned about not only for you, but I'm concerned about the message being sent to men that you don't intend to be sent. And I think it's a matter of it's a matter of how we carry ourselves. Have you ever been around people? You can see people who are friendly. I've been at places with my wife, and I'm over the years. I mean, we've traveled and conferences and speaking, all sorts of things. So we've been, and there have been times where she's left, and we got in the car, drive away, and she said, "Did you see that woman?" In other words, she could read one woman's message different than another woman's message. And I think it's true how we communicate. I think there's something about our physical disposition. It's about the words that we use. You can almost pick up when someone is being flirtatious, can't you? You can almost pick up when there's a difference between, hey, I'm just a friendly person, but boy, this is, you know, my commitment to my spouse, and there's a sense of distance there that's healthy compared to a message that I'm not quite clear what that message is. So I think it's a matter of maybe sitting and expressing this to your wife and your concern for her and for the men, and telling her you appreciate it when she's being careful about how she communicates, as we all should be. But I think it's a matter of just being open and discussing it and keeping it as a healthy discussion in our marriage.
Dr. Randy, I've been married for 30 years to the most wonderful woman in the world. She's my best friend. We lost a child 5 years ago that was 20 years old. And the only way you make it through life like that and have a strong marriage is with Christ in it. And I thank you for it. Bye.
But, you know, we just touched the surface on this today, and I know we could go a lot deeper, and I hope you will. I hope you'll think about it. We do have opposite-sex friendship, 10 things that'll help you think through how to have healthy opposite-sex friendships. That's available on our website. I think it's Intentionals, isn't it? One of the Intentionals. You can get to at theintentionallife.com. We love you guys. We want the best for you. And let me say, I don't think as Christians the intention is that we not love people and care for people. In fact, we should. But also be careful that we know what we're transmitting to a person. Because let me tell you, you may not be in need, but the other person may be. And we want to make sure that the right message comes across. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. It's been a lot of fun today. Again, thanks for being a part of the program. We'll see you next time. Thanks for your prayers and support. Check it out at theintentionallife.com.